All right, welcome back to another episode of Four Guys,
One Film.
Today we're going to be reviewing The Sound of Metal. So, synopsis. A struggling musician is trying to cope with potentially going deaf and learning how to live a new life with no sound, losing his girlfriend, and juggling the ideas of taking things for granted, dealing with addiction, and self-accountability. Let's jump into it, boys.
Let's go.
All right, so question number one. I mean, this movie obviously deals with a lot of topics of potentially, disabilities. Like, this guy loses his hearing. Loses his girlfriend.
Well, that's not
loses
a disability.
Loses his will to live.
Yeah.
It's fucked up. So, I mean, one question that I would bring to you guys is, would you rather go deaf or blind?
That is such an on-the-surface question that, why? Like, this is a deep film what you're going to ask us?
It's a complicated question, because if you think about it, it's like, you wouldn't want to do either. But if you had to choose, like, what
you think it's a choice for these people? No, just kidding.
Well, I mean, in this case, fucking...
It kind of was
a
little bit.
It was a choice. It was a choice because he knew that he was fucking up his hearing, and he still didn't stop.
He could have saved 30% of his hearing, right? But he decided not to.
It wouldn't have been ideal, but definitely all those years of abusing his hearing, not putting on ear protection, going to these metal shows,
PPE boys,
not listening to the fucking PPE doctors, he fucked himself over. You know, so he kind of had it coming.
That's why, you know, I kind of wasn't that sympathetic to him.
But let's get back to the original
question. Wait. But I'm not done. Okay.
Let him talk.
That's why I wasn't that sympathetic to him towards the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what the fuck he stopped us to say.
So I guess, you know, hearing that, would you rather be deaf or blind, right?
I'd rather be deaf, honestly. if I had to choose between one of the two, I'm like, I feel like you can still live your life pretty much to the fullest if you're deaf.
If you're blind, deaf with an F.
Yeah.
I'd rather be dead. Oh, wait, that
he
was
can still live his
done.
Life fully.
Nick with his jokes.
No, but I think I'm with Isaac there. Deaf. You know, both are tough, and I'm sure that you're probably missing some of, like, the beauties of, obviously, life that you're not considering, but blind is just really tough.
Yeah.
Like, it's just super
straight
hard to navigate the world while being blind.
And, George, I like the fact that you brought up this, like, question, because, like, 2 days ago I was at a party that was... And yeah. I started drinking some cranberry vodkas back, and I was like, I thought about this exact same fucking question. I was sitting there.
Right. How many cranberry vodkas did you drink?
Good time. Jesus Christ! What the fuck?
He's feeling his girl.
Bro, most
pop.
People have like three, and they're like, "I'm a little fucking."
Right. Okay. Okay. I have another question. Would you rather be deaf or like can't taste?
I'd rather be deaf.
Honestly,
I hear you say dead.
Yeah, I know, right? I hear dead too.
Nick, are we going at the subconscious right now, buddy?
No, because I think they pointed it too. I was like, I'm hearing something. Maybe I am going deaf.
That could also be true.
So you'd rather not hear than not taste.
Yeah. So I feel like you still enjoy the simple beauties of food to the fullest.
Yeah, I think food is important.
Out of all the senses, hearing and vision are probably the best. Because, like, think about it. You can live without taste. You can live without, like, sensation, like, feel and touch.
Sensation's scary, though, because a lot of people,
you can't see anything. It's
crazy. A lot of people have that issue where, like, they can't feel pain, and they don't have, like, feeling in general, and so, like, they don't even notice when they've got
jabbed. Yeah, they have neuropathy. It's a thing where it's, like, your nerves are damaged.
That's a... Whoa.
This guy.
His vocabulary expanded.
You think you're better than me?
He's like, once a day, he's like...
No, it would definitely suck, because, like, obviously, the whole point of that is, like, if you're in danger, your fucking hand is on the stove, you want to feel the pain.
I'm in danger.
But, I mean... If you're blind, you're going to run into a fucking car.
If your uncle's
if you don't
nearby,
have a guard dog or something, you know?
I feel like you can still have a pretty... You can live a pretty fulfilling life if you're deaf.
Yeah.
Deaf with an F, bro.
Okay, see? It's not just me,
bro. What the fuck?
All right, well, I mean, all jokes aside, those questions are a little bit on the surface, but I think this...
I was kidding.
Movie does bring into light, like, you know, taking... taking things for granted as well. It's like, this guy obviously didn't plan on going deaf, but... Everything that he did led up to that, and he almost was in denial of it, you know? So it is kind of crazy to think about that could happen.
For me, what's sad, too, is just that idea that, like, you're close to achieving your goals. You're close to getting to, like, your dreams with his album release and everything like that. And that's when life just rips it all away from you.
Yeah.
I will say the album didn't sound like it was going to be a hot hit.
They were not good artists, and I think the movie portrayed that on purpose. Like, it was intentional.
I thought his drumming was pretty cool.
It was cool.
He was a good musician. They weren't a good band.
They weren't a good duo at all.
Well, all right, so let's go on to the next topic. Also, I think this was brought up a lot. I mean, the idea was kind of brought up in the film. Would you date someone with a disability? Because obviously, it's not like to say that it... Like, let's say, for example, here, obviously it was kind of... affecting their relationship.
Right. Yeah,
not necessarily.
It wasn't kind of affect the chick straight up and left.
Well, you actually,
but the opportunity that she had to like, hey, when she got that phone call from her studio producer, like, hey, you need to be here. She was like, I'm fucking there. Fuck this guy. So she, and again, she was also like, as we progress on to the end, like later on in the movie, like,
right.
Like she was going through her own things, and I think she wasn't emotionally available to be there for him. But we didn't get that concept. Right. So it honestly just made it look like a fucking
I think
shit.
It's kind of a bit more complicated though, because the difference is whether you meet somebody and you know that they have some sort of disability, yet you still date them, versus you're already with somebody and then they develop a disability.
See, but
and I kind of wonder like which one is
well,
harder.
Like, but I feel like it's she's a little bit more in a kind of a piece of shit, because I'm like, dude.
Yeah, she's a piece of shit. I'll
like,
agree
you've
with
been
you.
Been in this relationship for 3 years, and you know
four.
He's going through a hard time, and you just decide to up and leave. And
but I think it's tough because, like, you know, in my opinion, the disability wasn't the hard part of the relationship. It was they were clearly both enabling each other to have this like to go through their depressions and go through their suicidal tendencies and thoughts without actually really dealing with the issues that they had that were
God
causing that.
Damn it, Nick, you took mine. You fucking
yeah,
because
that was the biggest problem. See, look, you are already trying to steal
no,
my
no,
shit.
No, well, I was
going to
say
usual,
that it was
crazy.
It wasn't
I think
about
it's your apathy.
It literally wasn't about the disability. It was because he had a fucking issue with drug abuse, with taking accountability for things, and like. Basically, like you said, she was enabling him to do all those things.
Well, I don't think
and it's
she
like,
was,
no, I think that motherfucker like really was just like, hey, I'm gonna embrace the deaf. I'm gonna learn sign language. I'm gonna learn to live my life like this and still try to make things work. I think it would have been fine, but obviously,
but
it didn't seem like that was.
But I think
the
ultimately, Ruben's character, the only reason he decided to do anything positive in his life was because of her. It wasn't because for himself.
Yeah,
and
but
so he was like. Ruben was using her as an emotional crutch the entire fucking
exactly
movie. And that was his
precisely
that was his only like motivation to do anything, which to a certain extent is kind of a positive thing, but isn't ultimately a negative thing, because at the moment that she left, he was kind of fucking spiraling. Like he was like, what am I gonna do? Like I can't, like he was like, dude, I'm doing this all for you, so we can go back on the road, so we can you know, I'm gonna be clean, I'm gonna be healthy and all of this shit. But it was never ultimately for him.
I mean, like you said, I think Lou leaving at the beginning was crucial. She needed to, because he wasn't dealing with the fact that he was going through obtaining this disability. So him going to Joe and learning sign language and learning to not be without his phone, not be without the internet, and just immerse himself in kind of that new lifestyle that he had to be part of was really important for him. And we find that out at the end of the movie when you see him kind of have that realization for himself that he's like, oh, I need to just embrace the fact that I'm deaf now, and that's okay. And you know,
he was accepted.
Exactly. He finally came to like realization that it's okay to be deaf.
It's so funny because the guy was literally like, hey, in this rehabilitation center or whatever it was called, he's like, I don't see this as a disability. Everyone here doesn't see this as a disability. It's a lifestyle. It's something that you embrace and you kind of go with. And the mere fact that he was like, oh, I'm trying to get the surgery to get it fixed. He's like, oh, I can't have you here. Because that puts everyone else down.
Exactly. And going back to what the original question you brought up on that is there's like two schools of thought, right? Like if you're meeting a partner or a potential partner and you see that they have a disability, you have that ability like ahead of time to kind of prepare yourself for it, to think about it, to like gauge for yourself before you waste their time. Like, can I basically at some points maybe even be a caregiver, you know?
Yeah. So
if depending on the severity of the disability. Or sometimes like you can also pull yourself back. You're like, oh, this is an experienced person, so I like it's not really going to add too much difficulty in my life. Maybe I'll learn sign language.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Like, they already know how to handle, they've always been deaf, they know how to do that. But when you're watching your partner go through that and struggling, the depression that probably follows all that, like we during the movie, remember we were talking about the fact that you're like, well, would you rather go deaf or have been born deaf, no, never knowing the pleasure of sound?
Word.
Yeah,
you know, so like there's all those levels to it.
And I think to that question that we posed while we were watching the film, I think I would have loved to become deaf than to be born with that. Because I'm
deaf,
loved
bro.
It.
Deaf.
Jesus
deaf.
Christ.
Deaf.
Okay, well, those are all interesting points. I think you guys all made some, you know, good thinking. But moving on. So what would you have done differently as the protagonist? So Ruben, if you were Ruben, you were in his shoes, you went to the doctor, they told you you're going deaf, you're never going to regain any hearing you have. What do you do in that situation?
I think for sure... Okay, I'll start with. I think for sure I would freak out hard. Like, wait, like I'm not like there's no way back from this, like that's it. But what would I do differently is I would not go for that fucking surgery. Cause first of all, how do you not do your research and realize that after like what, $80,000 or some shit,
yeah,
like that,
it was
that you're literally gonna
40 to 80.
Well, okay, 40 to 80, yeah. That you're still gonna hear like metal sounds, like that's not
the sound of metal.
Yeah, the sound. Oh shit, that's the
oh
title
my God.
Of the movie. Yeah, like how did he not realize that he's spending money on garbage essentially?
Do you remember them explaining that it was gonna be that bad?
Like, I feel like the doctors did explain that. They're
sorry,
like,
he cut
even
you
the
off.
First doctor told really him like, hey, let's not focus on you getting a surgery. Yeah. Like they always try to push them away from the surgery. All he did was he looked for a surgeon that was willing to fucking do it. And he's like, I'm going to take your money. Like that's all he did. But
pretty much
doctors, yeah. Everybody like has, if you see the movie, everybody told him like, don't do it. They just
don't do it.
Your fucking
well,
movie.
I mean, Alexis, question for you. Yeah. Are you saying that just because you saw the outcome of what Ruben saw and like how bad it was and how it wasn't
right.
even worth it? Or are you just saying that because like that's what you think you would have done to begin with anyway?
Yeah, no, I think I would have just, I mean, personally, it would have been extremely difficult to lose that. And it probably would take me time to even like come to terms with it. Like, holy shit, like I no longer can hear, you know, the people that I love, you know, like I think that's a very important thing. I can no longer hear the birds chirping in the morning, shit like that. So. But I would
you
probably
love birds?
I love birds,
no,
even though they're not
part,
real.
Part of your life?
Yeah, yeah. But I think learning to adapt sign language and knowing that there's a community out there, I think that's really great. That's really helpful, and I'm glad that exists. And I would probably gear towards that versus, hey, like, put some shit in my brain.
So you would go full reset, because I mean, at that point, you're probably gonna like.
I would go full reset.
Yeah, full reset. So you're basically embracing a new community, new people, everyone that was like,
I don't think it'd be easy
before.
Though definitely, yeah. Like him where it's like, no, I don't want to do this shit, like this is a church, like I'm not religious, this and that, you know, I'd probably be like that too. But yeah, I don't have $80,000.
Yeah, I think the important thing to note here is that Ruben was an addict, right? Like, and that's the hardest thing for me to put myself in his shoes is it's easy for me to say, like, I don't think I'm going to freak out that much. But his behavior, I mean, even Joe said it. He's like, you know, the way you're talking, the way that you're acting, you remind me of someone who's an addict, on something.
But he was an addict because his new addiction was his
exactly.
girlfriend.
Exactly. No, I don't think it was necessarily that. I think it was also he was addicted to the idea of, like, getting better. So, like, when it comes to the spending the money on the surgery, like Isaac said, I think people were explaining it to him. Like, this isn't going to be perfect. But I think in the same way that, like, in certain cases, addicts will go to any length to get the cheapest, worst type of bump, fix, whatever. It might be fucking, you know, like, rubbing alcohol. It might be whatever bullshit. Just anything that gets me that fix. So he was so focused on it that when he finally saw the quality of life that he gave himself and how poor it was for what he gave up, He had that like realization.
I mean,
like,
those tendencies were depicted really well, because like he even sold everything.
He sold his
van, literally all his equipment.
Everything was an afterthought.
Basically everything, and then he's like, "Oh no, we're gonna figure it out because my girlfriend's dad is rich."
Yeah.
He's like, "That's an addicts act like that."
Yep.
Like,
what,
wasn't even his shit.
So would any of you guys do the surgery?
No.
No, straight up?
I think, well,
I would have if I didn't see the outcome or see how
right.
everyone was treating it.
I think
it
just, yeah, it fully depends on, like, the quality that I would get. I mean, I'd look into it and
I would have relapsed.
But I think
you'd relapse.
I think
straight
the most
to the booze,
thing
bro. I'm
going to
be honest with you.
I wouldn't have been like him to continue to deteriorate. I think that's the most important
yeah,
thing to
I
know.
Think we're all like.
Like
but
he,
again, he wasn't mentally stable.
Yeah,
no,
we're
he
pretty level headed.
He was addicted
bunch.
To the rush from playing music. He just replaced one addiction with another.
Yeah. All right, well, another question, I think going back to what Gator was saying here, is, I mean, what do you guys feel like you take for granted in your own life?
That's personal.
Honestly.
Walking. I mean,
walking is a big one.
Yeah, because I feel like I could lose my hearing.
You look like a walker.
I like to walk every once in a while.
Dude, when I broke my leg, it was the most depressing, like, 2 months of my life. Because, legit, I couldn't even, like, serve myself a meal. No. I mean, I was, like, younger at the time, and I was very athletic, and I liked doing stuff.
Man,
and literally, I couldn't even serve myself a meal because, like, the crutches just made it so difficult. One time, I almost fucking fainted because I had the crutches that
oh
were cutting
God.
Out the circulation, and I was on medication, too. And I was at work, like, just fucking, like, someone.
Did you work at summer? Stop shit.
Yes, I was working at Doig as a tutor, and I was standing up for too long and shit. Like, I almost passed out. It was hilarious.
Wow. You should have passed out. And then
but it's just, like, it's
lawsuit.
So funny because you take that shit for granted, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, literally being able to walk is such a mundane, like, normal thing, but it's like once they take it away, you're like, fuck, this sucks, dude. So that's a big one.
Damn,
I agree.
That's crazy.
What about you, Alexis?
What was the question again?
What do you
Jesus
take?
Christ.
What do you feel like you take for granted in your
you
own
know
life?
What? I think it's probably like mental clarity. You know what I mean? Because like this character was just like all over the place. Just like he just could not be in one place with himself, you know? And I think a lot of people probably don't have the ability to have that sort of mental clarity where they could just be at ease or at peace with themselves just because certain factors, mental illnesses and whatnot. So I think like not having control over my mental state would be awful. And thankfully I do. I hope I do for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I think for me it's like peace and stability, you know? Like we had like sidebar conversations about like giving and helping people earlier. And just like that idea that like whether it's monetary stability, whether it's mental stability.
I need a second right here because Andre took the nastiest fart next to me.
Our producer produced.
Oh, he produced.
Yeah, he produced.
Damn, was Nick was like on the way like towards someone.
My it's gone. My mental stability is.
It was a ramble.
I said three words too many.
It wasn't even a ramble. It's only been like 20 seconds of him talking.
Yeah.
15 seconds too long.
I would say just health in general.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, even just recently, I got the flu. I was sick. Obviously, that's not the worst thing in the world. But when you're sick and you're, like, in bed just rotting and just fucking, like, wishing you just could breathe
putrid,
normally for a moment.
George, what's different from you being sick and, like, yesterday?
What do you mean?
You don't do shit anymore.
What?
Bitch, what are you talking about?
Isaac takes every opportunity to say George does nothing.
Yeah, dude. Because
you never replied to my text.
Look, shut
me.
The fuck up for a second. Literally, health is just one of those things that, like, until you're sick and you're in the position where you're like, oh, my God, like, I might not be okay, it's kind of scary to think about.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's just like we go about our days like normal.
It's true, yeah, because, like my dad, you know, he kind of, like, briefly got sick, like, a few months ago, and that was kind of crazy. It was just like a... like huge change, and it's like you take for granted how when people are fully just, you know, safe and healthy 100%. And just walking around like no problem, like that's it's, you know, it's normal, but at any second it can change immediately. And I know you can you can relate to that too.
Well, shout out to my godfather. I'm glad he's better.
Yeah. Shout out to my godfather. I'm glad he's better.
Yeah. All right. Shout out to the Godfather Part 1.
Best Godfather film.
Essentially, right. Yeah.
All right, another question here. So what lengths would you go to for a woman? Obviously, in this situation...
Wait.
For your
what
partner?
Lengths to go
I
for
know,
a woman?
Structure that?
What do you mean? What's the concept?
Let me tie it to the movie. Fuck, I was about to say. Obviously, they weren't
Jeez,
married.
Sorry.
In this situation, he was basically living his entire life revolving around this woman. Clearly, the only reason he even wanted to get his freaking hearing back was because like he felt like he would lose her if he didn't. And he would no longer be able to pursue music. He would no longer be able to be that person with her and live that life. So that ties to, you know, what lengths would you go to for your person or, you know,
right.
Woman
well,
or
we're all
wife.
A bunch of simps here, so we're all going to say, like, the best answer possible. So, you know.
Yeah.
For sure. But, yeah. All right, so you would legitimately?
Well, would I spend $80,000 to get my hearing back so I can hear my wife right, again?
What if your
Fuck
wife is
no,
the one to
dude.
Go deaf?
What if she went deaf?
What if she's the one
if
going deaf? Are you going to go through the steps with
care.
Her?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
but,
come on.
I'm moving to France.
what kind of question is that, though? No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I'm not going
to. Well,
help
I
her
mean,
out.
If you're answering truthfully, you know, it
right,
could be different.
Right.
Georgia,
right.
Sounds like you have a different opinion.
I mean, I think
if it's my wife, for sure, I'm going to stick with her till, you know, death do you part, especially,
right.
You know.
Those are the vows.
The vows is literally like health.
Death do you part.
Till
no,
death.
No, but even through health and all nice. That shit. So it's like, honestly, this is your person. You're supposed to stay
George,
with
so
him.
Only your wife?
Do all this shit. If it's a girlfriend, it's a little bit more casual.
You can walk
you
away from that.
I don't know. Like, I think after a certain point, it's no longer casual. Like, if you've been with the person, like, 4 or 5 years, it's no longer a casual thing. Where you
I don't know. 4 or 5 ain't that
so,
long.
So, again, the question
you got
is,
married at 3.
No, I got married at 4.
Exactly.
Damn, dude.
And then here I am at 10.
That, bro.
Exactly.
So
crazy.
Perspective.
You still haven't peaked.
Perspective.
You beautiful bastard.
All right. But
I think that, so I'll give you a straight answer, George. I think that at the end of the day, kind of like Ruben and in this case, Lou, like you have to see where you're at in your personal life.
Yeah.
You know, I think love is not the strongest force in the universe, and you shouldn't just pretend like life's a rom-com and that at the end of the day you'll make it work because you love each other. Like, you have to be real, and you can't hold your partner back, but you also can't put yourself in a situation where you're going to cause harm to yourself.
Yeah.
That will then fall back on them. Too many times do you see like especially like older couples that back in the day, it's like divorce wasn't a thing. And now all of a sudden they're realizing like, I don't have to put up with my partner's shit. And that's just that. Versus now when you add on like the realities of like shit like this, like going through really tough times, whether it's monetarily or like some accident, some health issues, like, yeah, you want to say till death do you part. And I think that that's my goal in life too, is to have that with my partner. But, you know, I think that everybody owes it to themselves and to their partner to make sure that they're actually healthily available for them. You don't want to lie to them, and you don't want to pretend. And then, because that's the worst thing, is if Lou would have stayed, like we talked about it, she would have enabled Ruben. She would have allowed Ruben to keep playing metal music and not try to get better, not try to learn how to be deaf, how to be a functioning member of society as a deaf person. And that would have been worse for him, you know? Yeah. Mm. What he needed was Joe, and that's what she knew, and that's what she had to leave.
That's beautiful. See, that's a fucking answer there, boys. Jesus, you know, Christ, I just that's say, what I was expecting from you guys.
I think we should do a segment where like people just send like you know, advice. And, you know, they ask for advice from Nick, and it's just Nick's segment. He's just Nick's giving them like romance.
But I think it also the only reason I didn't like your response, George, is because you said white. And I feel like it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I feel like if you care about a person enough, you're going
to
be there for them.
I also think it's very situational because, like, to be honest with you, let's say, for example, you have a disease that, like, it takes every aspect of you. Let's say you're dating someone and, like, they slowly deteriorate to something like Stephen Hawking. Are you going to say that, oh, you have a girlfriend of 2 years, you're going to stay with her for the rest of her life? Just because of the
George,
disorder?
If I care,
I don't know.
If I care,
I think it's very situational.
I feel like if you care enough about
it, is situational.
I feel like if you care enough about
it. I see.
Them,
I feel
well,
like
exactly. That's why.
The situation.
You said the word if. That makes it situational.
But George is like, oh, but if it's 2 years in, I'm just going to leave.
You're making it so black and white. You're like, no matter what, I'm staying. And I don't think that's
that's
truth.
That's not what I said.
Gator.
I think
you guys are both going black and white on each other. You're saying that George thinks it's just about a time or commitment versus I think. You're saying that it matters, like both of you guys are trying to say it just matters where you're at in your relationship.
Yeah.
For some people,
no,
a year,
I'm trying to like.
He's not saying that. I don't think he's saying that at all. All
right, what are you saying?
You think it is a time? Like,
I think if like I generally care about that person, I'm going to stay in that person's life as much as they need to.
Yeah. And sometimes you
know
for yourself.
It may not be in a role of like me being their partner because of their disability or whatever, but I'm still going to be there. I'm like, hey, if they ask me to, like, hey, I need to be part of the rehab or anything like that, like, I'd be there for them.
Okay. Stop moving the mic around. Yeah, Isaac. Yeah. All right, keep it on your fucking mouth, all right, so we can listen.
My mic.
All right, all I'm saying is, you know, if Gator's my girlfriend and he turns into a vegetable, I'm pulling the plug.
Wait, but you've only been...
you're a fucking piece of shit.
Wait, but you've only been with him 2 years?
How many years?
Has
he put out yet?
Jesus.
Do you
when he was in the coma, yeah.
You cynical bastard.
Okay, how much do you diddy him? You know what I'm saying? Like how many bottles of lube do you go through?
He's got to check if he's awake.
We had that drunk conversation. We're like, hey, if I ever turn to a vegetable,
I don't know if I ever had that.
How many? That was after the 10 vodka cranberries.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was this Saturday. Yeah.
That was 10 bottles of lube and 10 vodka cranberries down that you guys had that conversation.
All right. I feel like we've kind of already addressed this one, but I mean, if you guys want to go over it, would you learn how to sign and live as a hearing impaired person, or would you opt for the surgery and try to regain some of your hearing?
Yeah, we already went over. But for sure on the sign, I think I'd like to learn sign anyways.
Yeah,
that would be cool. It'd be cool.
Yeah, I feel like
it'd be a lot more peaceful in my life if I don't get to hear people talk.
Yeah.
Honestly, that scene at the end where it's like just silence after all the fucking static.
Have you ever been hiking and then just like it's super quiet?
Yeah.
And
remember we were at Joshua Tree? Just the wind.
Oh, okay. I thought when we were in the tub.
That was backshots,
not just the wind.
There was just the wind too a second ago when Andre ripped ass.
Dude, Jesus Christ.
But yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, last thing that I kind of want to end it with. I mean, what moral do you think the director was trying to portray with Ruben's story?
Wait, can you repeat that?
I mean, like, what overall moral or, you know, kind of lesson do you think the director was trying to portray with Ruben's story?
I'm gonna be really above the surface on this one. I think. Just love yourself regardless of the situation, and I think that's going to pull you ahead in any situation. As long as you love yourself and you can deal with yourself every single day and you can look at yourself in the mirror, doesn't matter if you're deformed or in this case you can't hear or you can't walk or whatever it may be, you're gonna have an enjoyable life, right? You're gonna figure it out to be like, you know what, I'm gonna make my laugh a good one for whatever I have left.
His laugh
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great, man.
All right, well, before Nick takes it, I think taking accountability for your own actions and just understanding that obviously, like, in his situation, Ruben made all of this, you know, he made his own bet, and now he's going to sleep in it. Because ultimately, it was pretty preventable for him to at least maintain some of his hearing if he was being more cautious with, you know, personal protective equipment, different things.
Always being a drummer.
Also, just overall, I mean, what Gator was saying is just kind of like you go with the flow of life. You know, wherever life takes you, sometimes you kind of just have to embrace it. Because the reality is he's never going to get his hearing back. And having the surgery and looking at it as a disability is only going to make it worse.
And now he has even more permanent scars, you know?
Yeah.
And it looks kind of cool, though.
He gets to look at his mistakes every day.
Yeah.
Looks cool.
All right. Alexis, Nick?
Nothing really. I had nothing to say because the movie said it all. But I mean, it's just that final scene of him in the silence, finally at peace with himself. He doesn't need the fucking $80,000 hearing. It's just he just needs to be with himself.
Yeah, I feel like the movie for me digested differently. I remember I was pretty like annoyed at it when we first watched it because I just kept getting more and more frustrated at watching someone completely make the wrong decisions. I feel like I kind of still stand by that idea that Hollywood drama like over dramatizes these things of like nobody fucking talks that way, nobody acts that way when you watch movies, like, you know, there is no fucking Ryan Gosling in The Notebook, like that shit doesn't happen anymore. And like now you're setting weird standards and you're trying to push like an envelope so hard that you're making it too extreme. But you guys, like, all the points you bring up is exactly what I think he's trying to go for, is that idea that you just have to stay realistic within your means. You can't push yourself so hard that you start to hurt your own body, hurt your mental health, whatever it may be. You got to love yourself. Like, that is a good point to have. I kind of wish that he didn't make a character that just made every wrong choice every single time.
But
I think that was really realistic. I've met multiple people that are exactly like him. They spiral, and they spiral hard. And then also, they're consistently not learning from their fucking mistakes, which is crazy because you're just kind of like, dude, you've done it over and over and had the same fucking outcome. Why continue to do the same
thing? Yeah, and I think that happens. I just think that, like, I think of it this way, right? Like some movies, in this case, like, that you would call that addict behavior, right? But to make a movie about addicts, but now making it about addicts who are deaf, like I will say, I think in my head I had this picture of like a movie that is making it so that he's going through every, like, he's poor, he's an addict, he's now going deaf, his girlfriend's I'm like, guys, life can be that hard. That is absolutely true of what happens. But you're going so extreme into like, how negative could I make this character possibly be? That, like, for me, it loses touch with so many meaningful things that you could touch on because it's now going through everything. It's like you can't go through the fact that, like, some people have to sell their shit just to get a surgery. That's real, you know? Some people lose their girlfriend through hard times because they have to focus on their own mental health. That's real. Some people are dealing with addiction. That's real. When you start talking about all three at once, like, all of a sudden, neither one of those is as powerful as it should be on
you're
its own.
You're diluting the issues.
I think I disagree because, like, this is almost...
I see your point.
It literally shows rock bottom. And that's him true. Pushing through that and still coming out on the opposite end and being okay. Yeah. And literally, the last scene, it shows him just kind of finally embracing it.
Yeah, the last scene was, I definitely think that the movie was still beautiful and the message was. Yeah. I just feel like it, like I said.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
It's definitely like a Hollywood dramatization of what happens to some extent. And I'm not saying that nobody's life is like
that. I've
met
some people that have had worse lives.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm like, I don't think it's unrealistic. I think it was a lot, but also it's a movie. It's beautiful to show the extremes and like portray it in a way that, you know, makes sense.
It's just a movie.
And we're just four guys.
One film.
Wait, it's not over.
No, we're not done yet. So, all right, last thing. Alex is going to take it from here. He's going to go over some Letterboxd reviews.
All right, Letterboxd reviews. These, you know, it's kind of hard to find a bad review on this film. I think overall it has a 4.2 on Letterboxd, which is pretty damn good, honestly. But all right, let's go over the ones that I kind of saw. So this one is by Cupid Puke. 4 stars. They say the sound design, the in and out between what Ruben's hearing and what has actually happened, the persistent on edge feeling this entire movie. I didn't have a motherfucking moment of stillness either until the very last second. Cinema. 4 stars.
I cannot agree more. I think he did everything well. Also, the whole fucking staticky, like, disgusting sounds of, you know, him with his implant, mm-hmm. sounds like metal, dude.
Literally. Yeah, literally.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's how it really does sound like, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
And that was horrible, because it's weird, because they mentioned that noise, like, it's not even coming from your ears. It's just your brain is interpreting the signals. I kind of wonder, like, how does that feel? Because
I think they're just probably magnets that are just, like how it's right. speakers, right?
Yeah, because
And then it's like the magnets do the frequencies to your
yeah.
like, brain.
Yeah, because I didn't really think about, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt
you. You're good.
But I don't really think, but sound does have a physical quality to it. Mm-hmm. Like, when I hear Isaac, George, you know, Nick, like, I feel the vibrations, you know, if you really think about it. But, like, with that, it's like...
The one thing that I did appreciate about, like, the surgery was, like, well, in this case, right, as I was watching the movie, in my personal opinion, was just, like, damn, like, the world is really loud. And sometimes it goes so unnoticed because it just, like, common noise and stuff. And, yeah, like,
sound pollution is crazy.
And sound pollution. And just, like, fuck. Like, that moment where he was out, like, he finally took off the implants and he's like, you know what, I enjoy silence. And he enjoys silence in that beautiful park in Paris. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's something that I do.
Dude, that scene at the party gave me anxiety. Yeah. It's just, like, he can't hear any of it. It's all coming through, but also not, because it's just, like, so convoluted. And, like I said, too much noise pollution. It's literally, you might as well take it off at that point, because there's just so much shit going on that none of it is actually, you know.
Well, I think that's what the director did so well with at the end of the movie, by just creating that tension and that like anxiety, fog, like turn the sound off already.
I would never go to a party again if it's like that.
Yeah, and then you know, it just makes the final scene just
that much more satisfying. We just gone,
but why would you fucking interrupt me? All right.
Because he was still making.
Shut the
point.
Fuck up, Gator.
Thank you.
Love me.
Love you, Alexis.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate
you only love Alexis, huh? You fucking piece of shit.
Well, you know.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We were on reviews. Yeah, that was awkward. All right. Thank you, Cupid
Puke. Cut that. No,
keep it in.
All right, this next one by Francisco Branco with as Pepe the Frog as the profile picture.
Nice.
It's pretty good. They only have a statement. They say, we need more silence than noise inside our heads. 4.5 stars.
I mean, what else can you add to that? It's beautiful.
Nothing else to add. All right, this one is a 5-star by Amber. They say, finally got around to watching this, and my goodness, it was incredible. Riz Ahmed was astonishing in this, and the overall immersive sound design, gorgeous. The last conversation between Ruben and Joe broke me, and that last sequence was so beautiful.
Wait, I thought this was Dev Patel.
Oh, my God.
He wins. Did you actually?
No, you fucking idiot.
No.
You're such a piece of shit.
You're a piece of shit, dude.
No, keep that in.
In that moment, I wish I was deaf.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I wish I was deaf.
Tough crowd, bro. Tough crowd.
But yeah, you know what? Her, we didn't really talk about Joe. Joe was a really important character.
I mentioned Joe a few times.
But we didn't really talk about him, though. Like, we know his effect on what the fuck, on Ruben, but like, I think he had a certain gravitas in the film that was really important.
I think he was very stern, but loving at the same time. Like, he knew when he was like, hey, this is what you need to hear, even though it's not what you want, but it's going to be for your own betterment and good. And obviously, like, everything that, all the advice that Joe gave him really helped him out. And ultimately, he was right. He was like, you don't need the fucking implants. This is not a disease. It's something that you live with and you embrace.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, that's what I figured out.
It really does put perspective.
It could be.
No, I know, but I mean, he was treating it like it's curable. Obviously, it's not, you know.
It's a little sad to think that, you know, at the end of the movie, you know that he's not going to go back to Joe. Like, he's not welcome there anymore, obviously.
Yeah.
But
I think if he talks to Joe and he's like, you know what?
I think Joe was a man of his word, and he immediately said, right, what he said, right? He's like, bringing you back, even under, like, maybe if he visited, but having him be part of a community when everybody can see the implants physically on his head shows again that level of like, you can fix this.
Yeah, it's like an F you to the whole community.
But it is a reminder to them. It's like, hey, this guy was part of the program. It might be a good influence because I'm like, he did everything in his power to get this fucking implant.
Potentially.
And he is worse off it for it because, you know, it just.
I don't think it's a good look.
I think it's a positive one because I'm like, it shows to the kids, like, you don't need to go out there and try to find this $80,000 to
but he can also turn it on and off whenever he.
See, but I think both you guys are and Nick too. Like, I think you guys make the right point, but that's just a tough decision that Joe had to make.
Yeah.
It's like ultimately, like, I have to stick by my word, whether you say this or you say that.
I agree. Like, after like talking with you, because I agree with Joe what he did in the moment, but I feel like he would take him back after the fact.
After the
potentially. Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty about the ending.
People can change their minds.
You can especially maybe seeing the outlook that he's had and how he's changed his mind as far as the surgery. Maybe Joe can have a different kind of output or aspect as far as Ruben's involvement in the community, but we don't know.
Yeah. To me, Joe seems like a character that's like, he's a coach, right?
Yeah.
And he's always willing to let you make the mistakes. And
big coach vibes.
And he's
coach.
Like, you know what? I told you so, bitch.
Yeah.
And he'll accept you back.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, we've run out, so those are all the Letterboxd reviews that we have.
Amazing. All right, well, I'll start. I think I'm going to give it a 7.5. There were certain things where I thought it was a little too much, like Nick said. But overall, I think I had a good message. Really enjoyed the overall story. I think it's good. Watch it. You'll like it.
Yeah, I think for me, like I said, I'll keep it at 7. I really liked the movie, and I think all the messages were – I think that in a series, this would have done better for me, just because then you have that longer format opportunity to really give all of those issues that they were all dealing with more time to explore, you know?
I totally agree with you. I didn't think about that.
Exactly. So
this would have been a good show.
It would have been an amazing show. Yeah. It would have been, and I think it was an amazing movie still. I think that it's just unfortunate that movies obviously could not allow as much time to really digest and comprehend everything that he was going through. You know, like, here we are discussing it a week later after watching it. Not a lot of people get that opportunity to like really think on movies that long. Like, life comes at you, you know, you have other things to handle, and that's when we're appreciating it more. So I think that that format change would have skyrocketed it potentially into a perfect score.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I didn't even think about that at all. That's such a good point. But yeah, I mean, I think there was. I'll give this movie a 7.5 also, like George, just because I think that final scene really just like hit it home for me.
It really did. It tied in the movie very well.
Yeah,
very
exactly. Well. But there are certain things about the character where I'm like, I wish we would have got more of this. And certain things are kind of like weird. Like, he has no money, but all of a sudden he's in France. And just, I don't know. I just think about things like that. You know, I think there's more to be explored that we just didn't see.
Yeah, Alexis wants to see him apply for a credit card.
Yeah,
get approved.
Like,
buy the plane ticket.
All
the important stuff.
I go through bankruptcy. You know, like,
yeah, rob a bank because then you couldn't.
This
get
could
a loan.
Be a 10-season show.
For sure.
I give it a 7. I think for me, to add on top of what you guys said, I feel like sometimes when the director did some like audio cues, like, I think he made stuff too loud at times, right? Which I feel like it kind of made me like, I felt kind of dumb at times. Like, this doesn't need to be this loud for me to get what's going on in the movie, right? Yeah. Like, for the example, like, when they're at the party, it was excruciating loud because we have surround here, and like, it was just like,
did you say excruciating?
Excruciating. Like, it was hurting my ears while I was hearing
it
all
was deaf.
Deaf. It was deafening.
But it was hurting my ears a lot of the times. Or like when they're at the beginning of the movie when they were playing the music, it didn't need to be like at 11, right? I think he could have done some like subtle things that would have made the movie a little bit better and a little bit more enjoyable for people to watch.
Yeah. You know, at some point, we, you know, we critique these films. We got to make our own movie, you know?
You guys haven't been down, so whatever.
I'm down. I'm always down.
In Georgetown, all of a sudden, he has time. He's like, oh, let's not make movies anymore. Remember hey, like 2 months ago? He was like, let's make a movie every week.
I'm on vacation, all right? But I'm going to make some time and let's get this thing going.
It's Georgetown right now.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I think we'll wrap it up here. Alexis, overall, how much was it?
Overall, we give it 7.25. That's 3.5 stars on Letterboxd.
Wow. Definitely worth the watch. Check it out. Let us know what you think. Comment, follow, give us suggestions. We'll see you guys next time. Four guys.
One film.